Turn to Ezekiel, and we're going to read from the first chapter to verse 4 of Ezekiel chapter 3. So reading starting at Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, by the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the colour of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the colour of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they had four, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went, and they went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upwards. Two wings on every one were joined, one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. The living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, with the four faces, the appearance of the wheels, their work was like unto the colour of beryl. And they had four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the head of the living creature was as the colour of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host, when they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, and they had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness at the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw the colour of amber as the appearance of fire round about it within. From the appearance of his loins were upwards, and from the appearance of his loins were even downwards. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the clouds in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. And he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, that thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Through briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor to be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. And we do ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. Amen. Book of Ezekiel is a incredible book for the visions and the descriptions and the parables that are told throughout it. But we know that this book was written by Ezekiel. As we've just read, he was a priest and he also became a prophet. And that name Ezekiel means God will strengthen or God will prevail. And Ezekiel was in Jerusalem, but went into captivity in Babylon. This was the captivity that was prophesied by Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 21, we read from verses 1 to 10. The word which came from Jeremiah from the Lord, when the Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Mattiah, the priest, saying, Inquire, I pray thee of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us, if so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that we may go up from us. Then said Jeremiah unto them, Thus shall you say Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I'll turn back the weapon of war that are in your hands, Wherefore ye fight against the king of Babylon, and against the Chaldeans which besiege you. Without the walls I will assemble them unto the midst of the city, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand, with a strong arm, even in anger and fury and in great wrath. And I will smite the inhabitants of the city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And after, say the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, and such as left in the city from pestilence, from the sword and from the famine, and to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those that seek their life, he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity. And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in the city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for prey. For I have set my face against this city for evil, not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and it shall burn with fire. And so Ezekiel was one of those people that took heed to that prophecy of Jeremiah. He didn't stay in Jerusalem, he went into captivity in Babylon. And later on in Jeremiah, chapter 51, you can read that Jeremiah also prophesied that eventually Babylon would be destroyed. It is thought that Ezekiel was about 25 years old when he was taken into captivity, and that reference to being 30 years old was when he began to prophesy. 30, of course, being the age that people became priests or fulfilled their priestly duties. And Ezekiel prophesied for 22 years. He was a contemporary with Daniel. And as you read the book of Ezekiel, the first set of prophecies is against the house of Israel. We read it in the fourth verse of chapter 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. The people that had left Jerusalem, Ezekiel was sent with a message to them, again telling them why they were in captivity and calling them to repent. But as you read through Ezekiel, you'll find that starting at chapter 25, that he's called to go and speak to the Ammonites, to the Moabites, the Edomites, and the Philistines. And then in chapter 26, to the cities of Tyre and Sidon. And then in verse 29, to Egypt. I'm going to consider what made Ezekiel a prophet, how he is able to fulfill the task that the Lord called him to. Surely he was strengthened by the Lord for this work. And the first thing to note, and we read it in the first chapter, verse 2, that the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. And it is the Lord that calls his prophets, the Lord that equips the prophets, the Lord that does indeed strengthen them. To have the hand of the Lord upon him was obviously a great comfort and a great strength. And we'll see something of the problems that he faced. But surely we can see that Ezekiel knew his God, knew that his God was with him, and so he was able to do the task that he'd been called to do. And so we have the introduction. In the first chapter of who Ezekiel is, and then go straight into that vision. I'm not going to say anything really about the vision, an extraordinary vision, but the result of that vision was at the end when we read, as the appearance of the bow was in the cloud, as the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. The appearance was the likeness, the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. That vision obviously affected Ezekiel. It was the vision when God speaks to him after all the other activities of the cherubim. Ezekiel was humbled by this vision. It had an effect upon him. And we know that it was a real vision. Unlike today, so many people say that they have a vision of God or a vision that helps them spiritually. But do they really get that sort of vision? Or is it, I don't know, something they imagine, something they want? But so often those that have a vision become very arrogant and proud and boastful. Ezekiel had that vision. And what did he do? He fell upon his face. He was humbled. And we also know that these visions that Ezekiel had, both in chapter 1 and throughout the book, are true because they're recorded in the Word of God. And that's why we know that what Ezekiel saw was true and had this effect upon him. It indeed encouraged him. Later on in the book of Ezekiel, you can read about false visions. And in Ezekiel chapter 13, we read verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say unto them, that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. So thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have nothing. And these visions, they had false visions, as we read in verse 9. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and their divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God, because even they have seduced my people, saying, peace, peace, and there is no peace. And one built a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Ezekiel was a true prophet. The vision that he had was true because it was God's vision to Ezekiel. He didn't have a false vision. And as I said, we know it's true because it is written in the scriptures. What did we just read then, that in verse 9, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Those false prophets with their false visions were not recorded. They have been forgotten, but the basis of their visions was to draw people away from the true and the living God. But Ezekiel's vision helped him, strengthened him, and he went out to draw people, to call people back to the Lord God. And as I said, people that claim to have visions, they're trying to elevate themselves to something. So often they get angry and contradict. But remember, Paul had a vision and the Lord humbled him. He had that thorn in his flesh. And so people want visions because they think it'll exalt themselves. But there's no need for further visions, for we have the Word of God. We have the scriptures. We have that full and final revelation of truth in our Bibles. As we know, when you read the last few verses of Revelation, we're not to add to scripture or take away from it. The prophets have ceased. The prophet was one that who said, thus saith the Lord. And we know that verse from the beginning of Hebrews, don't we? God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The Lord has spoken to us in these last days. And so there's nothing else to be added to the Word of God. So visions have ceased. Prophets have ceased. And then Ezekiel, as I said, he hears the voice of one that spake. And then in verse 3 of chapter 2 we read, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. A prophet is one that has heard the voice of God. God has spoken directly to them. And so there we have Ezekiel being spoken to by God. And that is essential for a prophet, one that has heard God's word, one that has been spoken directly by the Lord God. You read in Deuteronomy, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And then in Deuteronomy 13, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign of wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God prove you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall not walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And the prophet or the dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shall thou put evil away from the midst of thee. There will be false prophets arise. Ezekiel had to cope with them. But you can test a prophet, or someone that says they're a prophet. Does what they say agree with God's word? Remember now, we have God's word. It's settled in heaven. It won't change, despite what any false prophet might say these days. As we've just read there, that the prophets were very powerful and seemed to be able to do signs and wonders, but they were leading people away from the true God. And so we have to remember that there are false prophets, even in these days. As we read in the first epistle of John, chapter 4, we read, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And even today, there are men and sometimes women that claim that they have a word of God, but it contradicts what the scriptures say. We're to be wary of them. We're to try them, which means to test them according to God's word, according to the scriptures. Again, we all talk about the Bereans. They search the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. So whatever is said, if it's said from the pulpit here, test it with the scriptures. Use your knowledge of the scriptures to test what is preached, what you hear. And in verse 2 of chapter 2 of Ezekiel, we read, "And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, and I heard him." The Spirit entered into him. The Spirit there is referring to the Holy Spirit. And so the prophet is one that has heard God speak, and that's essential. But he is also the one that has the Holy Spirit, and that is what enabled him to do the Lord's work. And again, remember, the Holy Spirit is part of being a Christian, a believer. We read in Romans, don't we? "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." When we become Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit. It's not a second blessing, something that comes later. No, when we cry unto the Lord for salvation, we have the Holy Spirit, and he is the one that guides and leads us into all truth. So we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us when we search the scriptures to test these false prophets or things that we hear that are supposed to relate to Christ. And so Ezekiel received the Spirit. He was told what to say to the children of Israel. We read that, and "unto me, and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me unto this very day. I send, for they are impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send them unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord." He is sent to confront them, to speak to them. He's given this task to do, to declare the word of God to the house of Israel. He's told in verse 6, we read, "Be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their works, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." Ezekiel is warned by the Lord that these people that he's going to go and speak to, they're impudent children. They're stiff-hearted. And he warns them that they're going to be a fearful people to confront. But he says, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words. Some would no doubt criticise him for the word that he brought. They might use clever arguments to try and override what Ezekiel has said. Then he says, though briars and thorns be with thee. Again, briars and thorns, we know that they cause wounds, that they can make you sore if you walk through some brambles with thorns. And so it will be for Ezekiel that speaking to the house of Israel, he will get briars and thorns. He will be buffeted by them. Thou dost dwell among scorpions. We all know what scorpions are. Small insects with a sting in their tail, with poison in their tail. And so beware of dealing with the house of Israel. Not only will they be fearful, briars and thorns will attack you, you'll also have to beware of their stings. Don't be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Again, people would be looking at him and trying to put him out of his stride or whatever. They'd be a rebellious house. And it's much like that today. If you talk to people about the gospel, so often we can be afraid of what we're going to say. We can be afraid of their arguments, of the words that they might use against us. They might attack us in one way or another. And it reminds us that we do dwell in a wicked and evil world. We might not describe them as scorpions, but the world would love to do down Christians. You see it in the news that they like to persecute Christians, whether it's stopping them preach or trying to prevent them from preach. And so the house of Israel, a rebellious house, the land in which we live, rebellious against the Lord God. But Ezekiel is further strengthened. The Lord says, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they hear or whether they'll forbear, for they are most rebellious. The Lord knows the people that he is sending Ezekiel to. If you remember from Psalm 139, the Lord knows our downsittings and our uprising. He knows our thoughts from far off. He knows the thoughts of everyone. And so he reminds Ezekiel that he knows the people that he's going to, because he knows all things. But he's still to speak those words, whether they'll receive them or whether they'll ignore them. He is still to go and speak those words, even though they're a rebellious people, a difficult people to deal with. And so Ezekiel goes, and the Lord says to him, or prepares to go rather, in verse 8, be thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house, open thy mouth. Ezekiel, being sent to this rebellious people, is not to become like this rebellious people and rebel against God's word. Not to be rebellious like these people. And how could Ezekiel be rebellious? He could be a bit like Jonah and refuse to go to the house of Israel. But it could be a bit more subtle than that. He could be tempted to dilute what the Lord had told him to preach. So he preached half a message to them. Or else he toned down the words of God to make it sound not quite so bad. And perhaps he might miss out a few words or alter some of the words that he's supposed to use. And that would mean that Ezekiel had become rebellious. Rebellious to God's word. And again, we're to preach the whole counsel of God, not to pick and choose the part of the Bible that we like and that we rely on, but to the whole counsel of God, Genesis to Revelation. And when we speak to people, let us not be afraid of what they might think. Let us be bold when we declare the gospel. People might laugh, they might mock, They might pull faces or whatever. But no, we're to preach the whole counsel of God. We're not to join them in their rebellion against the word of God. And so Ezekiel is commissioned by having this vision with the cherubims, and then at the end, that vision of the Lord God. And so we can see that Ezekiel knew of the majesty of his God. We know that he fell at his feet. He was humbled, and the Lord spoke to him. He was a God that was not far off, but he was nigh unto him. The hand of God was upon Ezekiel. Contrast with the false gods. If you read Psalm 115, you know all about the false idols, the way that they were made from trees. They couldn't speak, they couldn't move, they couldn't hear, they couldn't answer prayer. But Ezekiel knew his God. He had heard the word of God, and so he was going to become and go and be a prophet for the Lord God to the house of Israel. But throughout this book, and it's the only book with the exception of in Daniel, that the prophet is called Son of Man. Daniel is called Son of Man once in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 17. But why does the Lord call him the Son of Man? As I said, there's the danger of pride, and doing the Lord's work can cause men to swell up with pride that they've been called. But the Lord calling Ezekiel Son of Man reminds him he's just a man. We know that his father was Buzi. There was nothing special about him. He was of that priestly lineage and would become a priest, but he was still a man. And that's why he fell at his Lord when he saw him, that he was humbled, because he knew that he was man. And so, as I said, Paul had the thorn in the flesh to keep him humble, so he didn't become proud and arrogant. And then we see the Lord, though, in his goodness, says at the beginning of chapter 2, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." He calls Ezekiel to stand up and speaks to him. Daniel, when he's given this commission, is standing before the Lord and acknowledging that he is there to serve the Almighty God, to do as he commands. And then in Psalm 84 we read, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, hast crowned him with glory and honour." Again, the man, the son of man, he's had that vision of the cherubims and reminds him that he's a little lower than the angels, but has crowned him with glory and honour, has called him to go and be a prophet. So calling him the Son of Man will prevent pride growing up in his heart. And it's a statement of the truth, because he truly is a man. Nothing special, except the hand of the Lord is upon him. Except the Lord has spoken to him face to face, and the Lord has equipped him. And when he's told to stand up, it's that call to be ready, to be active, to be about the Lord's work. And so, Son of Man keeps him humble. And we need to remember that we are men. We could be tempted, like Ezekiel, to become rebellious. We could think that confronting the world with their anger, with their scoffing, with their looks, with their mocking, we could want to join them. But no, we're to stand up, to be bold for the Lord. For the Lord does bless, help and strengthen. And Ezekiel, given this commission as the Son of Man, he sets about fulfilling it. Again, the Lord knows us. we read in the Psalms again, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He knows our weaknesses, but he will equip us, he will be with us, he will strengthen us. And we have that description of the children of Israel, which I've just read, that they're impudent children, stiff-hearted, that they will not, whether they'll hear or not, they're rebellious. But Ezekiel is still to go. As I said, the Lord knows the heart. He knows our hearts. He knew that Ezekiel could be tempted to become rebellious. He knew the people that he was sending Ezekiel to were a rebellious people. As again, as we reminded on Lord's Day evening, Psalm 139, the Lord's eye is always upon each one of us. And so that can be a comfort to us. It can give us that resolve not to be rebellious, to know that the Lord hears all that we say, all that we do. And then we read at the end of chapter 2, verse 8, "But thou son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And I look, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of the book was therein. He spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go to speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat. He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll, and I'll give thee that I did eat it, and that it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." Again, a description. Ezekiel didn't actually eat the roll, but it is of significance. It's a parable, if you like. Remember that the roll that we're talking about was the scroll with God's word written on. And in those days, it is believed that they were using animal skins to make to be able to write on, and they'd be rolled up. And so it would be very tough if he was going to eat it. But notice, before we consider what it means to eat, "I looked and behold, a hand was sent unto me." God's hand was giving him the word. A reminder that we have God's word. It's God's word because he has given it to us. It's not the work of men. Again, despite all the words that the world uses about God's word, we know that our Bible is God-inspired, God-breathed, has been given to us by the Lord, has been preserved by the Lord. We might not be able to say directly, as Ezekiel saw, that this scroll was being given to him by the hand of God, but we know that God has given his word, and therefore we do take notice of it. We will want to eat it. And that what is signified here is that Ezekiel was going to consider God's word, study God's word, take notice of God's word. And notice the roll was written on both sides. And what was written on it, we can read in verse 10, just the last paragraph. "And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe." The word that Ezekiel had to take to this people, lamentations, mourning, sadness and woe, telling them of their state, reminding them of their state, that they were captives taken away from Jerusalem because of sin, and to rebuke them for their sins. So a difficult word to take, a difficult word to deliver, but he was to eat it, he was to absorb it, so that he could tell all that he had heard, that he could remind them all that the Lord had said, all that the Lord had done, and indeed all that the Lord would do. And again he says in verse 3, "Moreover said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel." And Ezekiel does as he is told. So I open my mouth and cause me to eat the roll. And if we eat, we're eating food. It goes into our stomach to be digested. But if we eat food, we chew it before we swallow it, before it is digested. And if we eat scripture, metaphorically speaking, what are we doing? It's our spiritual food. If we eat, as I said, we chew. If we consider God's word, we will meditate upon it. We will think about it. We will take our time. We'll acknowledge that it is spiritual food. Again, we know that verse, don't we? That the scriptures are the bread of life. It is our spiritual food. And so we need to be, as it were, eating it, meditating upon it, thinking about it, accepting it as God's word. If you went out, it'd be very rude not to accept food on offer. And the Lord gave Ezekiel this scroll. Ezekiel received it and ate it. The Lord has given us his word, and we would be rebellious to turn aside from it. And if we refuse food, it's either an indication that perhaps we don't like it. But if we don't like God's word, is it because of sin? Is it because the word does cause us to mourn and is full of woe because of our sin? And so if we receive God's word and think upon it, we can reform our lives. We can cease to be rebellious. As I said, we chew our food to digest it, and so let us learn to meditate upon God's word. We read in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." In his mouth he was meditating upon it, as we said, day and night. Observe to do all that it says to do. That was told to Joshua, and Joshua served the Lord and led the people of Israel into the promised land. And then Psalm 1, we know it so well, don't we, in verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the God." In the law of the Lord. "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." Again, spending time with God's word in the day and in the night. And so Ezekiel eats God's word, and he has obviously meditated upon it. He knew what he was going to say, what he had to say to the house of Israel, the words that he was to speak, as we read in verse 4 of chapter 3. "And he said unto me, Son of man, go thee, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." Because he had meditated upon God's word, he could speak to the people of Israel. And so if we meditate upon God's word, we study God's word, we will be able to speak to all who ask for the hope within us. And then we read, "So I opened my mouth, caused me to eat the roll, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." And you can't help but think of that verse from Psalm 119. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Or in Psalm 19 we read, "More to thee desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." But we looked and saw at verse 10 that written in that rolls was lamentations and mournings and woes. And we might say that that word wouldn't be sweet to consider our sin, for the house of Israel to consider thy sins. But God's word, when it does convict of sin, does prove to be bitter. But if God's word causes us to cry out, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and we can find that forgiveness for our sins through our Saviour, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we would say with John Newton, and we will sing that hymn in a minute, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. If you read God's word and you find that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to save sinners, there's not a sweeter word you will hear. And so we read God's word. We might find bits bitter, but we can look to our Saviour, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can delight in God's word and meditate on it day and night. And so the word of God to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed sweet, sweeter than honey, and we delight in it, and we know that in the keeping of God's word there is indeed great reward, and life after this life will be even sweeter. And so Ezekiel, to sum up, verse 4, he said, and he said unto me, chapter 3, verse 4, and he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak unto them my words unto them. Ezekiel, called to be a prophet, called to go to the house of Israel. So we've just seen the hand of God was upon him. He had had this vision of God. He had heard God calling him. He was equipped. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had fed upon God's word. He knew that there would be difficult, that he was going to a rebellious and a stiff-necked people. But the Lord had strengthened him and equipped him. And remember, Ezekiel a prophet. But remember, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, that great roll call of faith, that the prophets were also men of faith, and we're called to be men of faith and to go and tell people God's word, to go and spread God's word to this wicked and this rebellious people. And we do ask that the Lord will help us. Amen. And we'll sing the hymn 123. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Jesus.
brother, friend, my prophet, priest and king. My Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.